KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. We are at day three of our special series, Beyond Me Too, here on the California Report. And we've been talking about sexual harassment, masculinity, and consent. Today, my co-host Julia Scott joins me to kick off a conversation about raising boys to be good men. Hi, Julia.
Hey, John. We've spoken with child education and sex education experts who say the most important time to start teaching boys about respect towards women is in middle school. I heard about a program that's been getting results across the country. It's called Coaching Boys into Men.
And how does that work?
Well, it trains male coaches around a curriculum on how to talk to the young men they coach about things like demeaning language, boundaries, aggressive behavior, and what to do if you see something wrong.
And I assume when you say coaches, you mean actual sports coaches, right?
Yeah, athletic coaches, program directors of schools, athletic teams, phys ed teachers, things like that.
And why is it important to have coaches do that?
Well, the idea is that athletes trust their coaches and have a special rapport with their teams where talking about this stuff can feel safe. Also, the athletes are often the leaders at their school, so they set the tone for the other boys. I wanted to know more, so I went to Petaluma Middle School.
Which is about 45 minutes north of the station here, KQED, in San Francisco.
Yeah, 45 minutes an hour. And I sat down with Coach Zach D. and Danny Marzo, an athlete who was 14 when he went through the Coaching Boys into Men training. He's 18 now, and I asked him what he learned from those sessions.
The main takeaway that I got from it every single time was that it was just a very complex topics that we weren't really aware of yet, but we could tell that it was preparation for high school because those were when those encounters were going to become prevalent in our lives. It was more of sexual harassment, battery, catcalling towards women, specifically at parties, and those were things we had never encountered before.
So did you feel like you could relate to any of the trainings?
Yes, I definitely felt it was a great learning experience for what to do in the proper situations, because I can speak wholeheartedly now. Those situations, I've seen it happen all the time.
What are you talking about?
The disrespect towards women, kind of almost belittlement of them, just in the sense that the guy believes that he is superior and the girl should just obey whatever he says. That's definitely common. For example, a guy might not take his arm off a girl and just keep telling her things, and she'll clearly be disinterested, but he'll just keep going to the point where it's just honestly downright weird.
Was there anything in your Coaching Boys into Men training that prepared you for a situation like that?
Well, yeah. So one of the things that they preached the entire time was the idea of consent, that it's reciprocated, it's sober, and it's mutual. And so whenever we were in a situation where consent was not present or we saw one, we should either step away if it's personal, or if we see it happening, stand up for it, because there are possibilities of much more severe actions.
Have you ever put yourself in a situation where you've disrupted something that you thought was non-consensual?
Just randomly, yes. I've stuck up and said, hey, guys, this is not right. Let her be. She's clearly not interested. Maybe wait for another time and try again, but don't do it now. Everybody's going to look at you differently, and you're not going to have the best reputation.
So I see you nodding, Coach D. Why are you nodding?
Just to hear that is kind of rewarding, because one of the main messages of the program is, you know, think before you act, and what's really going to be the best choice? What's going to be the right choice? Think about the consequences that could result.
Have you seen the effects of this program on the student body at all?
Yeah, there's definitely been some situations that I've observed on campus. One that in particular comes to mind: a couple years ago, one of our basketball teams was getting ready to finish their practice right as our girls volleyball team was getting ready to come in to start their practice. And all the volleyball girls were walking in with their volleyball shorts, and I overheard one of the basketball players make a comment that would be counted as disrespectful toward one of the females regarding the volleyball shorts. And he actually, I don't think any of the girls actually heard, it was more to one of his male friends. And before I even had a chance to go over and address the student, one of his teammates actually kind of stood up and made a comment about how the comment wasn't cool and sort of brought in some of those things that we had talked about in the program, which was really nice to hear. Because ultimately, you know, as coaches or parents or teachers, we're not going to be there and if they're comfortable and confident doing the right thing themselves, but can also help others do the right thing, then we're heading in the right direction.
And so, John, that was my conversation with Danny Marzo, the 18-year-old athlete and his former coach, Zach D, about Boys Into Men, a program where sports coaches talk to young men about boundaries, respect for women, and consent.
Well, speaking of consent, I started wondering how young is too young to talk about consent? And that led me to Jennifer Devine. She's with a private company called Superstar Health Education in San Francisco. And she says she talks to children as young as kindergartners about an idea of body autonomy. And she says she starts with this question.
Would you like a hug? No thanks? Okay. Thanks for taking care of your body. That's excellent. How about a high five instead? Okay, I'll have a high five. That'll work. So finding non-sexual experiences with children to help them learn that they have power over their own body is a way to really lay the foundation for consensual behavior and learning to ask for consent later in life.
So this idea of body autonomy, I would imagine it's got to be difficult for younger children who, you know, are still in many ways reliant on their parents or perhaps their older siblings or caretakers. Is it something that's easy for them to grasp?
Absolutely. All you ask is who owns your body and who's in charge of it. And most kids will point to themselves at a young age. And at a certain point, they realize, okay, your parents take care of your body or your caretakers or who you spend most time with. But as people get older, kids know their body is their body and they get to be in charge of it. And who touches it is up to them.
That's Jennifer Devine. She teaches kids in San Francisco about consent and sexual education.
Support for the California Report comes from Collective Health. Through technology, design, and human support, Collective Health offers companies and their people a new way to experience health benefits. CollectiveHealth.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems. And the San Francisco Foundation, working with its many partners to advance greater racial and economic equity for everyone in the Bay Area.
And that's the California Report for Wednesday, January 24th.
A production of KQED Public Radio.
I'm John Sepulveda.
And I'm Julia Scott. Have a great day.